Many stories of mothers who have made great sacrifices for their children, but there are few examples of mothers-in-law who do the same. Well, the following story tells of a woman who never gave up on her son-in-law, even though he seemed beyond reach. She stood in the gap for him until his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
I'm really scared.
Well, what happened?
Bob's gone crazy. He says he's going to burn the house down and kill himself. I think he means it.
Oh, Susie.
I was so scared, I had to get away. So I told him I was coming over to check on you.
Can you see what he's doing from here?
No, but he was packing when I got home.
Is he drinking?
Nonstop. The divorce papers were served today, and he just exploded after I came home. I've never seen him like that.
Well, let me call the pastor. Maybe we can reason with him.
You can't go over there, Mom. He has a gun, and he's really upset.
This is Unshackled, dramatic true life stories that proclaim the good news produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Hide and seek is more than a children's game. It's something we do when we hide from the truth of what we really are, the consequences of what we've done. And we seek a way to start over. Since 1877, Pacific Garden Mission has been helping people start over, giving them food, clothing and shelter, medical and dental care, and a chance to think about their lives. Everything is provided by the generous gifts of friends and listeners. Pastors and counselors speak the truth in love, the truth that sets them free. And those who receive the gift of new life find the greatest hiding place of all with the one who came to seek and to save them. He hides their guilt and shame and changes everything, as this story demonstrates. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2570 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
It won't do any good to talk to him, Pastor Larry. Not when he's like this.
Does he have a history of violence?
Only when he's drinking, but lately that's all the time. I just couldn't take any more, so I filed for divorce.
I've been praying for him for years.
He won't change because he doesn't want to change.
God can do anything, Susie. I made a covenant with God 2 years ago that if he would wake me up, I'd be on my knees every night at 2 a.m. praying for Bob.
And you actually do that?
Yes. Every time God wakes me up.
He's gotten worse, Mom.
But you don't know what God is doing. I read in the Bible that while man is sleeping, God speaks to his heart and keeps his soul from perishing.
Do you remember the reference, Lorraine?
The book of Job. Chapter 33, mm-hmm. Verses 14 to 18. I took it to heart.
Oh, God, no. He's killed himself.
Don't go over there, Susie.
I've got to, Mom.
No, your mother's right, Susie. Call the police and let them handle this.
The man in our story joined the wrong crowd when he was 16 and took pride in being able to hold his liquor. By 19, he was drinking every day and on his way to being a full-blown alcoholic. This is the true story of the consequences he brought upon himself and the one who wouldn't give up on him. It's the true story of Bob Short, right now on Unshackled.
I still remember the first time I met Bob Short. He came to our door in 1962 and asked for Susie, our 16-year-old daughter. They had been friends for several years and began dating during her junior year of high school.
How are you, Mrs. Lawley?
Oh, I'm fine, Bob. You can call me Toppy. Susie will be here in a minute.
It's such a nice day, I put the top down on the car.
You two make quite a picture driving around.
Well, because of the red hair?
Yes. You could pass for relatives. Do your parents enjoy living in the country?
Yes, ma'am, but I don't. Sometimes weeks pass before I see my friends.
At least there aren't as many bad influences in the country.
I don't know about that. You can get into trouble anywhere.
You're right. Knowing the Lord is what makes the difference.
Yes, ma'am. My mom goes to church, but my dad don't.
Susie says you work at the toy factory in town.
Yes, ma'am. Been there 5 years, but I'll probably be drafted soon.
Oh, hi, Bob. I'm ready to go.
You look great. Nice talking to you, Toppy.
Don't forget about church tonight, Susie.
I won't, Mom. Did you get the third degree?
Nah. Besides, I can handle it. What was that about going to church tonight?
Family rule. I can have a date when there's a church service, but I have to go to church also.
I quit going to church when I was 13. But I'll go with you once.
We go every time the doors are open, and I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I never got much out of religion. Just like my dad.
I'm never going to make my kids go to church.
Although Bob was 6 years older than Susie, he was hardworking and honest and seemed like a nice boy. They became engaged. And a year later, Bob was drafted into the Army and went away to boot camp. As soon as he came home on furlough, they put pressure on us, a sign for them to get married. Get married? Oh, Susie, you're so young. Why don't you wait until you graduate? That's only 5 more months.
We want to get married now while Bob's home on furlough.
Well, what's the rush?
Well, there's a rumor we'll be shipped overseas, Toppy. We want to be married if that happens.
Please, Mom.
Well, you'll have to promise you'll finish high school if we sign.
I promise.
Come into the kitchen a minute, Susie. We'll be right back, Bob.
No problem.
Susie, I smell alcohol on his breath.
Well, he just had a few beers with his friends, so what?
Well, he knows we don't approve of alcohol. He's not respecting our wishes coming over here like that.
I'll talk to him, Mom.
Are you going to marry him anyway?
Yes, Mom. I love him. We were married in our church on December 28, 1963. 5 days later, Bob went back to Fort Hood, Texas. He was transferred to a school in Fort Knox, close enough that he came home on weekends. I graduated, and Bob finished his school in July, and we moved back to Texas. By then, I was pregnant, and our problems were out of control. I don't see why I can't buy that.
I told you, we can't afford it.
But I need it when the baby comes.
You'll have to make do.
I am sick of making do. Why am I always the one making sacrifices?
Shut up, Susie. You're always griping.
I won't shut up. You can't make me. Oh! How can you hit me? You don't love me.
I don't love your nagging.
I want out of this marriage.
I said shut up.
I can't take anymore. When we weren't fighting, we had a lot of fun together. I drank with Bob and his friends on the weekends. Our baby daughter was a redhead just like us. When Bob got out of the Army, we moved back to Illinois, back to the toy factory and our old routine. Over the years, we just ignored going to church. And over the years, we drifted apart. Whenever the family got together, Bob was usually not there. Mother noticed.
Debbie's growing so fast.
She's such a good kid, too. Never gives us any problems.
Where's Bob today?
At the track with his buddies.
We don't see much of him anymore.
Yeah, he goes his own way, Mom, and does his own thing.
I thought maybe it was something I did or said. So I wrote a letter asking forgiveness if I'd offended him.
Oh, it's nothing you did, Mom.
He never responded. I finally called and asked if he got my letter and wanted to talk about it. He just said that he lived differently from me and he wasn't interested in my kind of life.
For sure.
I told him I was praying for him.
What did he say to that?
Not much. He told me to go ahead and pray, but he wasn't going to.
He's a good provider, Mom. And he's a good dad, too. Whenever Debbie needs him, he's always there.
Oh, but the drinking.
I've never seen him drunk. I made that statement many times, and yet his drinking grew worse. We began to live separate lives. I took school trips with our daughter. Bob stayed at the clubs to drink and gamble. But as we grew further apart, we fought more. And the more we fought, the more he drank. I hid the abuse from my family as long as possible. He began taking our daughter to the track with him when she was 15. You guys are late getting back.
It's 100 miles, don't forget.
That cooler is dirty, Bob. Put it in the sink. Did you let Debbie drink beer? I can smell it on her.
Wet blanket time, I knew it.
Bob, she's too young. You know I don't want her to drink.
I drank with my dad when I was 14. Didn't hurt me none.
Go to your room, Debbie.
Lay off her.
You don't make a drinking buddy out of your teenage daughter.
Shut up!
I won't shut up. Now, I've had it with you.
You've had it. You want to clean up everybody's life? I'll give you something to clean up.
Oh, Bob, stop it!
Bob and I had been married 18 years when I began bargaining with God. You know the routine. I'll do this, God, if you'll do that. The spiritual teaching I received as a child began to convict me on Sundays when I was home. Our daughter was involved in a youth group at a nearby church, so I got involved in some activities and began attending on Sunday mornings. It was a big church, so I could slip in and out without being noticed. Then when she was 17, I received the kind of phone call every parent dreads. Debbie had been in an accident. She rolled Bob's truck, and I began to pray, "Oh, God, let her be all right."
In a moment, we'll learn how this accident affected their lives. Throughout the year, Pacific Garden Mission welcomes thousands of homeless people in Chicago. But even if you have a home, we hope you'll come by to visit the old lighthouse and learn firsthand how so many lives have been changed since the doors first opened in 1877. Now, any day is a good day to visit, but if you come on Saturday, you can watch as we produce one of these unshackled stories. You'll have a guided tour of all the facilities and a better understanding of why the mission is called the Old Lighthouse. Plan to stay for supper in the evening praise and testimony time, and you'll leave with memories that will warm your heart for years to come. Any day is a good day to visit us online, too. Our website has pictures of the old lighthouse, a brief history, and many complete unshackled stories that you can listen to online. You can also order booklets and cassettes and ask for prayer. So drop in often. Our website address is www.unshackled.org. For more information about visiting us, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
Debbie had totaled Bob's truck, but she was not even scratched, and I knew the Lord had protected her. I had to follow through on the prayer and promises I had made to him. The next Sunday, I walked forward after the church service and gave my life to God. I received His peace and power to turn from sin in my life. But the year that followed was the worst in my life. The closer I drew to the Lord, the more difficult Bob became. Our life was a nightmare. Bob's father died, and I went to a lawyer friend to help settle the estate.
Well, if you take these papers to Bob and have him sign them, we'll just about have this all wrapped up.
Okay. How much do I owe you?
Susie, I've heard that Bob has written a few checks that have bounced.
I know, Dave. So I'll write you one on my account. I had to get a separate checking account to cover myself.
Uh-huh. Is he gambling?
Yes. Between that, drinking, and the abuse, I don't know how much more I can take.
Not bad, huh?
The other night, I almost killed him. If he had come at me one more time, I would have shot him.
Was he drunk?
Yes.
Susie, you've got to do something, or one of you is going to wake up in jail, and the other one is going to be dead. Either you kill him, or he'll kill you.
I've threatened divorce for a long time. I just never followed through.
Well, divorce might be for the best.
All right. Drop the papers. I don't know how I'll tell Bob.
You don't have to. A deputy will serve the papers.
Susie?
I'm here, Mom.
Well, what's wrong, Susie?
I'm getting a divorce.
Why?
I just can't take any more. It's terrible, Mom. Bob has been beating me.
Oh, I knew he was drinking more, but you never said anything about abuse.
What good would it do? I can't stop him. No one can. He spends all our money. He tears up the house.
Oh, Sue. I wish you could wait on God to change him. But
I have a Christian friend who keeps saying that. Stay and pray.
It's true.
Oh, Mom, you don't know what that's like. I thought after I committed my life to Christ, things would be better. But the more I read the Bible and the more I change, the more we fight. He lets Debbie drink now.
I've prayed so much for Bob.
Well, I'm through praying. My lawyer's drawing up the papers.
We were building a house, and I was there working when the deputy pulled up and handed me the papers. I was so strung out, I didn't even care. I just wanted the fighting to stop. I went home and was packing my clothes and antiques when Susie came home. The deputy brought me the divorce papers, Susie.
I can't take it anymore, Bob.
Can't we talk about it?
There's nothing to talk about.
Says you. Almost 20 years together and you want to throw everything away. Fine Christian you are.
I just want a life. You're not interested in what I need.
What about Debbie? You've destroyed everything. You think you're better than me, don't you? Well, let me tell you, going to church doesn't make you better.
I'm sorry, Bob.
I'm going to kill myself. There's nothing to live for anymore. You'll regret you ever started this.
God helped me to appease him, and I left and went to my mother's house nearby.
The sheriff's here.
Someone call for assistance?
Oh, Sheriff, we heard a shot, and I'm sure it was my husband. He's drunk, and he has a gun, and he was threatening to kill himself when I left.
Does he know where you are?
Yes, I told him I was coming over here.
All right, now, you both need to leave and do it now. Do you have someplace to go?
Well, I have friends.
Well, you go to them, and young lady, you contact the battered woman's number. They'll put you up till things cool off. And don't let them know where you are, no matter what. As soon as you're out of here, I'll go over there and check on him.
Lord, protect him until he can realize who you are.
I was arrested and charged with reckless conduct for discharging a firearm. But as soon as I arranged bail, I went out drinking and was almost arrested again. I went home to a dark and empty house. Reality set in. I started drinking again at 6 a.m. and drank all day Saturday and into the night. My mind wandered to the races 100 miles away, and I left for Terre Haute, Indiana. On the way, I stopped to have a beer, but for the first time in my life, it tasted awful, and I threw it away. At the track, the same thing happened. Beer tasted like mud hole water. I tried to work the pits, but I was so nervous I had to leave. I headed home like a zombie. I felt a burning desire for God to change me. I went to see my mother-in-law, but she wasn't home, so I left a note on her front door. The next day, she called me. Hello?
Bob? You left a note on my front door asking me to call.
Yes, Toppy.
What did you want?
You promised to pray with me when I was ready to come to the Lord. I'm ready.
Do you really mean it, Bob?
Yes. You've been right all along. I need Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I realized that while I was driving back from the track yesterday. But I don't know how to pray or how to go about getting saved. I've made such a mess of my life and my family.
Let me call you back, Bob.
Susie, I just talked to Bob. He's left a note on my front door asking me to call him, and I found it this morning when I went there with a locksmith to change the locks. He wants to be saved.
I'm not interested.
Susie, he told me he's ready.
Oh, Mom, you can believe that if you want to, but it took me a long time to make the decision to leave, and I'm not going back.
Won't you at least talk to him?
No.
Susie, are you going to let the devil defeat you that easily?
Mom, you've never been beaten by him, and I'm tired of it.
You've got to let him pray if he wants to.
Fine. You take care of it, but don't meet him alone, okay? I mean, who knows what he might do if he's drinking?
I'm not afraid, Susie. The Lord will be with me.
My mother-in-law called back and arranged to meet me at a little country church the next morning. The pastor and one other layman came with her. I thank you all for going out of your way like this.
Well, let's all sit down.
Susie couldn't be here, Bob. I'm sorry.
I love her, Toppy. And I love Debbie, too. I'm sorry I made such a mess out of our marriage. I'll do anything to bring our family back together.
God loves you more than you could possibly love your family, Bob.
He wants to see your family restored, too, Bob. But you need Jesus as the head of your life if you want your marriage healed.
I realized that yesterday. I stopped along the road and dumped all my beer in the ditch. I knew that I needed Jesus, and that I didn't need beer.
You're right about that.
Pastor, I want to be saved, but I don't know how. That's why I called Toppy, because I know she's been praying for me for years.
Do you understand the gospel, Bob?
I know that I need to receive Jesus as my Savior, and I need to quit drinking.
Jesus will help you do that, because he came to destroy the works of the devil. The devil wants to destroy you and your family. Jesus came to save you. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
What should I do to be saved?
Admit that you're a sinner.
I'm definitely a sinner.
Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins to buy your pardon?
Yes.
Then all you have to do is ask God's forgiveness based on what Christ did for you. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation, nothing you can add. It's pure grace. Would you like to pray now?
Yes.
Well, let's kneel down right here at the altar, and you talk to God in your own words, Bob.
As I prayed asking God's forgiveness, the terrible burden of sin was lifted from me. It was truly amazing. That was September 7th, 1982, and I never touched alcohol again. I was elated at the peace that flooded my heart, but I still had to convince my wife that I had changed.
This is Susie.
Susie, Bob prayed to receive Christ this morning.
That's nice. Do you think it was just a ploy?
No, it was a sincere prayer. And my burden for him is lifted. I can stop praying for her salvation.
I don't believe it, Mom.
Call him up, dear. See for yourself. He even looks different.
Maybe I'll drive by the house later and see if he's gone out to the club.
Give him a chance, Susie. He loves you and Debbie.
Time will tell.
A few days later, I managed to reach Susie at work. She agreed to meet me at church with her pastor present. After a few minutes, the pastor excused himself and left us alone.
I knew you had changed the minute I saw you. It was like a light came on behind your face.
I've had people at work tell me I look 10 years younger.
I drove by the house the other night, and sure enough, you were home.
The desire to drink is gone, Susie, completely gone. I owe a big debt to your mother for praying for me for all those years.
Well, I put up with you all those years, too.
I'm sorry, honey. I'll try to make it up to you if you'll let me.
What brought about the change, Bob?
It had to be the prayers. Your mother told me that people all over the world were praying for me. On Sunday, I was so nervous and tense, I had to leave the racetrack, and I threw all my beer in a ditch. I knew that only Jesus could help me to change, and I wanted to change.
Oh, praise the Lord. Honey, I'm so glad you're saved.
Things will be different from now on, Susie.
Things were different. God restored our marriage, and Bob has been a faithful servant of the Lord. In the past 16 years, he's been to numerous foreign mission fields, building and repairing churches and witnessing to others about his faith in God. Our years of sin and conflict had a negative effect on our daughter. For 16 years, we also prayed for our daughter to come to the Lord. In 1998, God answered our prayers.
You say Debbie gave her testimony in church today?
Yes. It was the best Mother's Day gift I ever had.
Oh, I know how you feel.
She said, the church can let you down, and your friends can let you down, your mom and dad can let you down, but I put my trust in the one who will not let you down. She said, a year ago I found Jesus, and he will not let you down.
She's right. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother.
We should never give up on people. You know that. We prayed for her so many years.
Almost as many years as I prayed for Bob.
He never gives his testimony without thanking God for your faithfulness, Mom.
It's really God's faithfulness. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So he keeps reminding us to pray and witness.
You know what? Bob recently met a guy with a drinking problem, and he's praying for him.
God will honor that prayer, just as he honored mine.
Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm here to tell you that God's word is faithful and true. I never really lived until I knew Christ. Would you like to be born again? To have your sins washed away? Then pray with me now. Lord, I want your forgiveness that Jesus paid for on the cross. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead and will come into my heart and life right now to help me live for you. Thank you, God, for your awesome love and grace. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me eternal life.
According to the Bible, when you put your trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross, you become a child of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Tell others about your life-changing decision, read the Bible, and find a good Bible-teaching church. And let us know so we can rejoice with you. The address: Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. It is our hope that you'll tell others about this program, that they too may be encouraged by God's power at work in others' lives. And ask the manager of this station to keep broadcasting these true testimonies. What a great way to help others become unshackled. This is program number 2570. Heard in the true story of Bob Short were Dave Kappas, Nancy Baird, Fern Persons, and Jim Parks. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write us today. We really do look forward to hearing from you. Just a simple note saying, "Thanks for Unshackled," and remember, write the manager of the station to which you're listening. He'll be glad to hear from you, too. Our address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. That's area 312-922-1462.